Welcome to Passion and Purpose with Pamela, celebrating all things woman. I'm Dr. Pamela Hardy Shepherd, here to ignite inspiration through conversations that spotlight women's power and their journeys. Let's share our light, our stories, and create a space of celebration for every woman. Here's to embracing our womanhood together.
Welcome to another episode of Passion and Purpose with Pamela. Today, we are thrilled to welcome a truly remarkable guest, Dr. Yesenia Garcia, whose passion for dentistry and commitment to her community have made her a standout leader in her field. Dr. Garcia's journey begins on the beautiful island of Puerto Rico, where her dream of transforming smiles and lives was first sparked after earning her doctorate in dental medicine from the University of Puerto Rico in 2004. She embarked on a path of excellence and service. From Houston, Texas to Jacksonville, Florida, Dr. Garcia has pursued advanced training in general dentistry, orthodontics, and dental facial orthopedics, continuously honing her skill to bring her patients the best care possible. As a second generation dentist with over 40 years of combined family experience, Dr. Garcia's love for the craft started young, working alongside her father during weekends and after school. Today, she's not only a diplomat of the American Board of Orthodontics, but also a pioneer in the latest techniques of orthodontics and sleep medicine, including clear aligners and treatment for sleep apnea. Beyond her clinical expertise, Dr. Garcia has made it her mission to give back. As a founder of the Houston Dental Milagros Project, she has brought life-changing smiles to countless individuals in need. Her dedication to teaching and mentoring dental professionals nationwide speaks to her commitment for elevating the field. Outside the office, Dr. Garcia treasures times with her family, her husband, Jesus, her daughters, Arenia and Romania, and their furry companions. Whether she's at the beach, dancing, cooking, or playing sports, Dr. Garcia embraces life with the same passion she brings to her profession. Join us as we dive into this incredible story of Dr. Yesenia Garcia, a woman whose purpose and passion shine in everything she does. You're in for a special treat filled with wisdom, inspiration, and heart. Let's dig in. Dr. Garcia, I've already introduced you, and if you would tell the listening audience just a little more about yourself from your own words.
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me here, Pamela. I really love, and it's a pleasure to be in this podcast, especially, you know, with such a wonderful name. Passion and Purpose is very inspiring. Thank you for doing this for other women. And so I come from a small town in Puerto Rico. I'm originally from the countryside. And my dad was one of the three dentists that we had in this small town. And from my childhood, I spent a lot of time with my dad in the office and learned to love dentistry. I learned to love everything that has to do with improving people's life through the improving of their smiles. So, and how happy is to see the changes on people's attitudes and people's self-esteem and performance when you just change the smile. And that got me to pursue the specialty in the States. I came here to UT Dental Branch in Houston, and then went to Florida. I did a second specialty in orthodontics and dental facial orthopedics, because for me, it's not only about the smile, it's also about the face, and also helping children to grow and develop properly so that they can have the smile that they need. But not only that, also to help them have a good health, because we know how much the smile has to deal with the overall health of the individuals. So I've been in Houston back since I finished my specialty in Florida. I've been here for about 20 years. And it's been wonderful. I'm blessed with a wonderful team on my practice. I'm blessed with a lot of friends and family. I love to help the community. I'm very involved in leadership too in the dental community. So it's just been really wonderful to have all those opportunities.
Well, I have to say, I know you spoke about children, but I also want to talk about older adults because I am actually one of them. And
Yes.
it is so important, just as we get older as well. Could you speak about that just a little bit? Because I also know you do sleep apnea. And if you could just talk about that a little bit, but if you could talk about older adults too.
Yes, of course. So, when I came to Houston and I did a 1 year specialty in full mouth rehab, I used to treat a lot of adults and implant and full mouth reconstruction. So my approach is very different to any other orthodontist that treats only children because I do treat a lot of adults. There's a lot of things that we can do to improve adults' mouths. So with the a resurgence of the Invisalign and clear aligners, clear brackets, and there are a lot of clear alternatives that we have right now for adults. Orthodontics became very, very popular amongst adults, and like half of my patients are adult patients. So usually people want to improve their smile, and sometimes people want, let's say, to get implants or veneers. But to be able to make those restorations to look natural on adults and do it the right way and in a way so that those restorations will last longer, you have to have a good foundation. And the foundation is done through aligning the teeth in the correct position for the patients so that when they get the veneers, they look natural and they don't have to basically destroy a lot of structure from the teeth. Because if your teeth are crowded and they're not in the right position, the only thing that the restorative dentist can do is to grind them in such a way that they can make them align better for the restorations or those veneers, which are just porcelain faces that they put on the teeth. So it's very important that you do the right foundation, and that is done through orthodontia. Now, whenever the adults get those restorations, then we go into the stage of maintaining those restorations. And that's when we go into the retention phase. So, what we encounter is that to protect the restorations, you have to avoid habits that sometimes we have as adults, which are snoring, not breathing well when we sleep, and we grind our teeth because we don't receive enough oxygen when we sleep. For that reason, we have to treat the way people breathe, and we do that through oral appliances. So when we build the retention for the patients, we also say, okay, do you have any problems breathing, sleeping at night? Do you feel tired? And we know that lately there's a lot of focus for adulthood into the sleep apnea because it causes problems such as diabetes, high blood pressure, cardiovascular problems. And we want to incorporate that into the dental community. And we have been working really well with the medical doctors and the ENTs and the neurologists to treat this disease, which is making people very, very sick these days and causing a lot of death because of the problems that it causes. So I am very fortunate that I treat sleep apnea as part of the comprehensive plan that we give the patient in orthodontia. And I work with the primary care physician as well as the primary dentist on incorporating a plan that is comprehensive for the patient. Because when some adults go in through this journey of ortho and full mouth rehabilitation, for their health and also for their looks and for their aesthetics and to improve their life. We want to be sure that we give them a result that is great, but also that is long lasting. And that's what we're looking in adults these days.
Oh my goodness. We really don't know. We don't really know the total extent. And I have to tell you all, I mean, Dr. Garcia's office and her staff are incredible. And I just have to say this, coming here and coming to your office, I feel like you and your staff are family, that you care. I know you do, that you care, but you can feel it. It's just like going to a hairdresser, totally different, but you go to somebody that you trust and that you know they have their best interests. And that's the way I feel. I feel like when I come there, I'm coming home. I'm coming to someone who cares about whether or not my teeth are aligned. How am I doing? You take such care. And each member of your team does the same. It's like I just love coming there. And I never thought, once a month when I come, it's like I'm with family. And I feel like if I can do it, anybody can do this. You need to be able to do this. And like Dr. Garcia said, we may go because it's in terms of the way we want to look and have a better smile, but most importantly, it's about your health, ladies. It's really about your health. And she does. She talks to my regular dentist. If I need any other things, they're in collaboration together. And if your orthodontist isn't doing that, then you must advocate for yourself to ensure that that occurs. So, what would you tell people, say, right now, I'm talking about women, what would you say to them in terms of, I'm going to my regular dentist and my teeth just don't look right. What would you say to him? And do they always have to have a recommendation, or can they just like come to the orthodontist and then you do what you do? I'm really wondering how that has to.
Yes, of course. So anybody can come into the office and we do an exam and a consult, and we see what are the expectations of the patient and what is their main concern. So sometimes we don't know what we don't know, and sometimes people think, oh, there's just this tooth that is crooked or something, and then I just want to fix this one. But then when we do the full evaluation and we show them pictures and we show them, look, this is what's happening, this is how your teeth work, and this is how your jaw works, and this is what we can do for you, and this is what I see on the way that you breathe. And people also have a lot of fears, sometimes, and I find a lot that in adults especially, they usually bring their kids first, and moms always leave them for last, and they leave a dad is actually the last one that does it, and they feel like, should I do this on me, and why should I do? I think that sometimes as mom, we always wanted to do our kids first and then we do ourselves last. And then at that time we say, okay, we're gonna do it, but we're gonna do it right because I want something that will last long on you. They can come directly to the office. They do not need a referral. And after they come, then we make a plan that is comprehensive with their dentist. And, depending if they need another specialist, if they need an implant or something, sometimes we need two other specialists, and we work a plan for them. And we always try to give the patients a good experience. Thank you so much for, saying that about my team. We put a lot of effort on that because we try to put ourselves in the place of the patient. We have a person that, has different fears, or sometimes you see that there's some women that come that maybe you don't know what's going on at home. Maybe they're abused or something, their self-esteem is down. And, it's amazing the things that we do. Once I was president of the Hispanic Association, and I founded the Houston Dental Milagros Project. We picked a mom that she would not smile. And her story was that she couldn't go to her kids' meetings because her own kids told her, "Don't come, mom, please, because of your teeth."
Oh.
And we got her approved by the board to rehabilitate her smile and everything. We did everything for her. And, you know, when we finished, she was crying because she was so happy. And now she would go to the school, and her kids were proud of her. So for her, it was so important that her kids were proud of her so that she could go to the school, to the meetings, and be with the parents and all these things. And you know, it was a really sad story that became into a very joyful story. And then it was funny because then she said that her husband wouldn't let her go by herself nowhere after that. And
Oh.
I was like, you see, it was just so amazing. And you know, stories like that are amazing. How you don't know how much impact this smile has on a patient. I had another lady who was on her 60s, and I finished her treatment a little bit before her birthday, and she started crying. And I was like, "What happened?" She says, "You don't even know what for the meaning that this closing my gaps in my teeth have for me, because my mom used to tell me when I was little that I had that gap because I was a sinner or something." So she had a deep root on her. It was an emotional root about her gaps and her smile that she went her whole life. And now she was a nurse and she was doing all these things, and she saved her money and she did her treatment, and she was just so happy. And for me, it was a simple treatment. We were fixing her bite, closing her gaps, and making her, you know, more beautiful, more functional, and everything. And for her, it was a really deep, deep wound that had to heal in her heart.
And we think it's just aesthetics, and I love that story because it is so true. I mean, even for myself, I looked and I said, I see my teeth shifting. And when you smile at people, you're giving something away to them. And if you're doing this or you're not smiling, you feel that deep inside, and you can't give the gift of a smile to somebody who actually may need it, but because you're wounded yourself. And that is so powerful. And it touches my heart because we just don't know how many people feel just like that. And if you could talk about the nonprofit that you work for, what could you say the name again, Maligra?
Yes, it's the Houston Dental Milagros Project.
Chakra.
So, yeah, so every year through the Hispanic Association, there's people that submit their applications, and they tell us their story. And, you know, they basically say why we should pick them. Anybody can apply. They can be Hispanic, non-Hispanic. It's everybody that, you know, say, "You know what? I think that I really need a rehabilitation, and this situation happened to me." Like, we have a lady that used to take care of her husband, got sick, so she had to leave work to take care of her husband. Because there was no much help for her, and then she couldn't afford it, and her mouth needed real rehabilitation, and she couldn't afford it. So they apply, they say the reason, and then we put a plan together for the patient, and between different doctors of the association, we do the rehabilitation. For example, I do the ortho, and then another person does the implants, and then another person does dentures or crowns and cleanings, periodontal health. And so everything is complimentary for the patient. We
Oh.
do have also some pediatric dentists that offer treatment for kids. So we have an association with Colgate Band where we go to different neighborhoods throughout the year and offer free screenings for kids and treatment. And usually we offer the pediatric patients if they're willing to come to the appointments, to the offices that are serving them, offering them complimentary services, they usually come. So it's very nice. It's very rewarding. We get a lot of people, and every year we have we complete full mouth rehabilitation. There's some cases that take a year. Some cases take a little longer, depending. Always the ortho is the longest part, right? Which is my part. I see the patients, but it's wonderful because I see these people every month, the same I see you every month. You know, orthodontists, we build this special relationship with the patients because we see them so often, but it's really nice to be able to do that and give to the community. So if anyone is interested, they can go to the Hispanic Dental Association, Houston Hispanic Dental Association website. And they can submit their application there. And every year, by the end of the year, we pick new people and we start on January.
Oh my goodness. And two things came up for me is one, how are you funded? And two, how does someone give to your organization?
Yes, yeah, so every year we do a gala and during the gala, then we have silent auctions, we have live auctions, and all the doctors that go to the gala, all that money goes to that Milagros project. We get sponsors too. There's a lot of wonderful people in Houston that give to the association, a lot of dental companies. Also give a lot of dental laboratories, a lot of patients. Sometimes I invite them to the gala so that they could just buy something from the silent auction or something like that. And sometimes they say, you know what, I have another activity, but here's a donation for your fund. So it's really great. And then in the gala, we sometimes bring the patients also to share the stories. We show the pictures, and it's very nice. It's very
That
nice.
is
But there's a lot of people that really want to help, and especially there's a lot of women organizations as well that we kind of like try to get together with and try to help, because the smile is everything. You know, there's a lot of people that, for example, the Dress for Success organization, where they help a lot of women. So I started getting involved in there too as the dental part, because I say, you know what, they dress for success, but we also need to do their smile because they're gonna go there, and maybe we can make something quick that when they go to that interview, everything shows really well and they feel more confident and everything. So yeah, it's been really nice. It's a lot of things that we can do, so we're really blessed.
that really touches my heart. And so one of the things I'll make sure that Dr. Garcia gives me so we can put it in the program notes so that you'll be able to get a hold of the organization and, you know, because you still have time this year also to give. And
Yes, that'd be great. And you know, if they want, they can just contact me. Most of the patients, because I'm kind of like being in the organization for so long, and since I was past president, everybody thinks I'm still the president, even though I run things on the background in the board. So what I do is I tell them, look, if just contact me directly. Some people just come to the office initially, even without applying. And when they come in, because they don't know what to do, where to go, what is the order, I said, don't worry. I always tell my team, just bring them in and I'll talk to them at the office, and I guide them through the application, and I contact the president or I contact the secretary, and we will get them in into the application. So they can contact us directly to the office, and I will guide them through the process.
oh my goodness. And you know, I look at this, Dr. Garcia, you have the passion that you have for orthodontics and dentistry as you do for the community. And that is amazing because I feel it when you speak, and your organization is just incredible, and what you do for people is so incredible. And I want to kind of circle back. I want to circle back because I know you worked with your dad, and I know you're two generations. If you could tell us, where does that passion come from? Where does it come from, and how did you get it, and how did you bring it forward, and then how do you keep it?
Yes.
So if you get it.
So yes, I think the Garcia's family were all like really strong. So my dad originally came and grew up from the projects in Puerto Rico. And so the whole family worked really, really hard to get out of poverty. And so all my uncles are, specialists, pulmonologists, pharmacologists, vice president of a bank. They're all like became professionals and worked really, really hard to get where they are or where they were. And so one of the things that my dad always taught me from the beginning is that, you have what you have and you're so blessed. But since we came first from such humble beginnings, we always gave back. So my dad was that dentist that will treat the poor people of the town, even if they wouldn't have money, like even like the drunk people or the drug addicts, like he will see them and they will have problems with their teeth, and he will say, "Hey, you're gonna come tomorrow to my office. I'll take care of that for you, but I'll see you at 5 o'clock, and you better be clean." And at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, I will go with my dad, because I was always kind of like the helper. And then I would go with my dad, and we would, before the staff arrived, we would treat the indigent people and people that were in need. And that was something my dad always showed me. So he was well known for having a big heart and helping people because of how our grandfather and his family origins were so humble. And I always remember at the end of the year, he will always host the project's Christmas party, and he will donate everything to them. And it was kind of like I do the same thing, kind of the Hispanic Association. I always plan the gala, and I'm moving all these things and getting people to do that. And but my family, we're Puerto Ricans. We like to cook, we like to eat, we like to feed people, we like to, be host. And I think that I bring that to everything that I do, even to my profession. I always teach the girls. I say, look, when the patients come, you got to think that they're coming to your home and they're guests, and you're inviting them, and you need to make them feel well, and you need to offer them coffee and water and snacks and things. And that's what we try to do, that because, who doesn't want to be taken care of and feel good, right? So, and why not doing it at work? Your work is your life. You spend more time here than with your family. So why don't every day come to work, be happy, and make other people feel happy? So that's why I come. So I always try to be better, and my dad showed me that. And it's a funny story I have. I was in Catholic school, and I always said I wanted to be a nun. And I told my dad I want to be a nun, and he's like, "Yes, you are going to be a nun, but you are going to be the dentist in the convent," because nuns also have professions. And so since I was little, he kind of put it in my mind. And but I mean, he did the same with my other siblings, and none of them stick to it. I just like it. I just love it since I was little, being at the office helping the patients, and that was nice. And he was a great example for me. And every day I keep it, and I always remember his words, and they motivate me. And it's that he always told me, If you're going to be something, I don't care what you are. I don't care if you are picking up trash or cleaning houses. I don't care. But you always be the best of what you do. And that always stuck with me because I know a lot of dental professionals, and there are a lot of dental professionals out there, and they're great dental professionals in Houston. But some people sometimes I'm like, you know what? You can give a little more. You can give a little more. And every day I go home, even when we have some type of problem at the office or something doesn't go right with the patient or with an employee, with a vendor, with somebody, I always go home and think every day how I can do things better. You know, every day I wake up, let's just try to do it better. How we can avoid this situation from happening again and being better. And it's always, you know, trying to remember my dad's words of, you know, just try to do the best that you can. No matter if you fail, but at the end you say, you know what, I failed, but I did the best that I could. And every time that I talk to my daughter, I tell her the same, you know, you're going there to get an A on the test. But you know, don't come and say, I need to, I did my best. No, because if I see you in the iPad, you're not doing your best, you know? So, you know, it's always like that. So I try to keep my energy. I try to balance what I do, but it's always about thinking, you know, just do your best and do to others like you would like them to do to you. You know, just follow the Ten Commandments and everything will be right. That's what I always say.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you are so inspirational. Now I have to ask you, how do you balance out all of this work, several offices of operations staff, the nonprofit collaboration? How do you balance your life? Because I know that you love sports and dancing. How do you do all this with such
Yes.
passion and grace?
Yeah, so I've been really blessed to have a great team and people that help me a lot. I was not like this from the beginning. Obviously, we graduate, we know so much about medicine and dentistry, and tell you the truth, I think I was not even good at talking to people because I was more on the nerdy side when I graduated. So as soon as I graduated from dental school and from ortho and started doing all these projects and knowing what I wanted to do, for my first 5 years, I didn't take any continuing education on dentistry because I had just come out of like 12 years of training, right? And I started taking trainings on leadership, you know, and learning about how to be a leader, how to motivate people, how to be happy. I got coaches that helped me organizing and finding purpose and saying like, you know, you cannot micromanage everything because I always wanted to do everything. No, you have to trust people, find good people, give them tasks. So almost every morning I wake up and I have a list of things to do and I prioritize and I plan and I delegate. And every time I delegate, I write a plan that is clear for them. Okay, this is what you need to do, number one, number two, number three. And then I follow up with them. It's really easy. So I also have, you know, a wonderful partner that helped me a lot of this, you know, as like on everything. And you know, my daughter is very independent as well. She has no other choice because I don't give her the you are, you know, she's very independent. She does her things. And that's how I deal with the work. But it took a lot of learning. It took a lot of learning. I got several coaches. One of them learned a lot from Brandon Burchard, which is was Oprah's coach. And I took a program with him and learned a lot about leadership because I was not a good leader at the beginning. I had a lot of knowledge and intention, had a lot of passion, but I needed to find how to get that to people and also to transfer my passion to see what are we doing things, you know, and not to come to the office and just, okay, we're coming to work. No, you're why are we here? And I always remind them, we are here because we're trying to help people. We serve our patients. So we are not, so that when you kind of try to change people's mentality and turn into your mentality as well, everything goes great. And then I try to not work after 6. So I usually go home, and even if I have a stack of papers, I stop, I go home, and I enjoy my family, and I cook, and I do things, and the weekends I dance. I play tennis, volleyball with my daughter and some other friends with their kids at the same time. So it requires a lot of planning. But I am a morning person too. I wake up really early, and that's why. So after six, I just do cooking and nothing. But very early, it just gets me going. And that I got from my dad as well, because he used to train me to wake up early. Yes.
Gosh, you said so many powerful things. And ladies, I want you to hear this. She said she had all this knowledge. However, she also needed help, get like with a coach, somebody to help her with leadership. So you're not walking this path by yourself. None of us can get through this life by ourselves. We need help. And she was willing to get help. And she also said, and I'm going to reiterate it, is that she took time for herself. She takes time for herself and she plans everything out. There's no perfect life. And the only way that we can get it is to begin to take time for ourselves. And she said, Dr. Garcia said, I don't work past six. You got to figure out in your life what is it that is so important, because your health and your mental health are so important. And I just love you. You said so many powerful things. And the one thing I would love for you to reiterate on, because you talked about your dad and how he instilled those things in you. And so I know you said it, but if you could reiterate it, how do you keep your passion? Because I love what I do and I don't want to stop doing what I'm doing, but I want to know, how do I keep my passion along the path of life? When do you know it's time to say, maybe I should do something else? Whatever your opinion is, but I just want to know, how do you keep your passion?
So I think that it starts from what you pick to do. Sometimes in life, we pick the wrong path, right? For me, I was very fortunate that I do what I love, And there's other people that I see every time, like people that are 30 talking about, oh, I don't want to practice dentistry anymore, or I don't want to. And I'm like, well, they picked the wrong path because they didn't enjoy. They maybe did it because their parents wanted them to be a doctor or something, but they really didn't enjoy it. And for me, I was lucky that I enjoy what I do and I find the passion. I think that always you keep the passion if you keep learning. So when I started, I just did orthodontia and I did full mouth rehab, but I didn't know a lot about things that I know today. I didn't know about the sleep apnea, sleep medicine, a lot of orthopedics and surgery. So I kept learning. I think that you keep your passion by learning. And I believe that I do that all the time. Every time there is some course on something about dentistry, I go, or some course on leadership, or even a course on how to balance your life, you have to go, a course on how to speak to your children. So we need to keep learning. I think we keep our passion by keep learning, because when you learn, you enrich yourself and you understand so much more than just doing your job, as people say. And I do that with my team as well. I take them to courses so they can learn from how to do their job better, to how to dress up, or how to put their makeup on, or how to feel better, how to do their hair. Let's do a hair and makeup session for everybody. How to speak to people, how to portray themselves, how to write an email professionally. Because these generations today are different. They're like, who are you talking to? How to reach people? How do you talk to different people? So I think that when you start looking through everything you do and try to better yourself, it's very easy to keep the passion, because everything is new, and new things are really make us happy. Every time we get a gift, it's because we don't know what it is, right? We open it. So Every time somebody recommends me a book to learn or something, it just makes me happy. And you keep the passion by that, by learning, and also by doing a diversity of things. For example, if I learn from ortho, then I go and learn from something else. So things like how to be happy. For example, there's this series of books that I like from the Harvard Business School. It has a series, and there's one that is talks about happiness, other about influence, other about leadership. So you start talking about that, and then things start clicking in your mind. And sometimes I go back to the same books at a different stage of my life. And when I read the same thing, I understand something different because you have a different knowledge and you see things differently at that moment. And sometimes the first time it didn't even click. And sometimes it has a different type of click because at different stages you have different purposes. I think in life it changes. Your purpose changes as you grow. It's like, at the beginning you're young, you're practicing, then you become a mother, then you become a leader, then you keep growing and growing and growing. But it's because of all this knowledge you keep getting, then you see, okay, what I'm gonna do with all this? And once you realize, you flatline. So when you flatline, what are you going to do? Okay, you need to see what's next. So what's next is, okay, now I'm gonna learn about something else, or maybe I will just catch another sport. Oh, my daughter started playing tennis. You know what? I never played tennis. I learned tennis to play with her.
Oh
So
my God.
I think all of those things create a potpourri in your life that makes you keep your passion going.
Oh my goodness. Because I was going to ask you, I said, oh, we're winding down, but I wanted to ask you, what is the last thing you wanted to say to women? But you said a plethora of things that we really need to take in. We really need to take in. You just had so many amazing points. And the last one you said about the book, reading the book at one stage of your life, and you go back and read it again, and you're in another stage and you see it from another perspective. And I just love that because this is what we have to keep doing. And so I'm going to leave the last word to you, whatever you want to say. I think you're an amazing woman. You are a shining example of what passion and purpose is, and keeping it, and not only giving it to your patients, but you teach your staff and the community to uplift them, and it just touches my heart. And you feel it. Listen, folks, you feel it when you come in her presence. I just need to say that to you. And you attract people because they want to be like you. You teach them so much and you give so much of yourself. And so I am not going to ask another question. I'm going to leave the last words to you, Dr. Garcia.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, what I would like to say to all women out there, and because this is passion and purpose, we have to, number one, every day we just have to think about how to treat ourselves as mothers or as women. Sometimes they teach us that we have to do everything for others and we are last. But I always say you have to treat yourself first and others come after, because if you are well and if you're rich, you have a lot of things to give to others. And the other thing you can be rich is by keeping learning, stay active, go out, meet people, read a lot of things that you say, what about this and what about that? I never learn about this topic. Or even if it's a cooking, just try something different every week. What I'm gonna try this week new? Oh, I'm gonna try Thai food. Well, maybe I start cooking Thai food at my home, and do something different and make your life spicy, and you that way your life is gonna be full of purpose and full of joy and full of passion. And just be sure that you keep your energy up first before you can give it to others. So and to feel your energy, you have to do things for yourself. Go out, even if it's on a walk, or even have your own time. You always have to have time for yourself. Find a space that is for yourself only and do something for yourself. And after that, and then you can give to others. So you have to enrich yourself. And there's so much in life that you can do to keep your passion and not flatline. So if you're out there and you feel that you lost your passion and your purpose, I know that for sure you're not alone, because all in our lives, there's all of us women have felt like that at one point for different things that happen through life and different events that sometimes try to put you down. But it's very easy. You just get up there, be brave, learn, stay active, meet people, and just love. Because at the end, I think that's our purpose in life, to be happy and to love.
Oh my goodness. You heard her say it. You heard her say it. I said no more words. Thank you, Dr. Garcia. You are amazing. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you all for joining us today on Passion and Purpose. It's been wonderful to connect with you, and I hope you found our conversation as enlightening and inspiring as I have. A huge thanks to our guests who contributed to the discussion and share their experiences and insights. Your stories are the heartbeat of this podcast, and it's a joy to explore our passions and purpose together. I'm Pamela, reminding you to live with passion and purpose. Until next time, take care and keep reaching for your dreams.